God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be with the family of God this morning. You know that? Let's all stand. Let's all stand this morning. I want to take a moment to welcome you all to church this morning, and also those that are watching via the internet. We want to just thank you for being with us this morning and worship with us this morning. And enjoy, amen, serving the Lord, amen, with our praise and our worship today. So our first song this morning is going to be hymn number 103. So dig out your red hymnals there. We're going to be singing Blessed Be the Name. Amen. Blessed be. You may be seated this morning.
Those of you joining us online and tuning in and viewing and worshiping with us, welcome to all of you also. It is good to be in God's house today, in His Word, with His people, and to know that His presence is among us, and blessed be that precious name of Jesus. Listen to how the Scriptures, what they tell us about that precious name. Hebrews chapter 1 reads like this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Listen now, this is verse 4. Having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Who is this one with that blessed name? His name is Jesus. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul put it to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, therefore, God has highly exalted Him, and He has bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That precious name, that blessed name, that wonderful name that is above all names. We've been singing about it already. We're going to continue singing about it right now. And His name is Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Pastor Al, you want to sing, lead us in some more singing about that blessed name?
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Take out your hymnals again. We're going to turn to page number 101. 101. I love singing songs about Jesus anyway. You know that? I don't think we hear His name enough, right? That's right. So sing this one with me. His name is wonderful. Never go wrong singing about that name. You know that? If you just turn right over one page in your hymnals, we're going to sing that song, There Is Something About That Name. If you're watching, amen. These are familiar songs to us all. Almost could sing them without the book, couldn't we, huh? But let's sing this one, amen. There is something definitely about that name. Thank you. But there's something about that name. Thank you. Amen. We'll never go wrong singing about Jesus. We're going to choose a few from you this morning. What would you like to sing this morning? I saw your hand, Ed, go right up fast.
Come on. In the chorus book, number 33, Lord be glorified.
Okay, number 33 in the chorus book here. I saw one here. Yep, we got a couple here.
Number 33 in the chorus book.
Oh, yes. Amen. The way we want it. We are the glory of the Lord. Alice, please.
5:11.
5:11. 5:11. Trying to catch a few hands that I haven't caught before. 5:11. Oh, my favorite song again. One of them. I love this song. Man. Let's all stand, please. Would you all stand with me?
Oh.
Amen. You may be seated, huh? Great singing congregation. What do you like up there? 493. Trying to pick a few that I haven't heard from. 493. Oh, it is well with my soul. I like that too. To stand, please, and sing that next verse. Would you do that for me? All the ladies. Okay. I'll get you started. You stand with me, please. We're going to sing that next verse. Okay, sing it loud. When let's all sing that last verse, okay? And Lord, singing. Yes. What one would you like? Number one in the hymnal? Okay. That'll probably be the last one, but let's see what that's got to say. I think we've sung it before. Ah, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Absolutely. Singing this morning, church. Amen, Pastor. You got it. We're singing.
Amen. Gentlemen, would you join me up front as we prepare now to take up our morning offering? And as we are preparing to do that, and as the men are coming forward, let me share with you a passage from Philippians chapter 4. It's verse 14 and following. The Word of God reads like this. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Listen to verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. As we think of that text of Scripture, we know that what we are doing now is an act of obedience to our Lord. It is an act of humble and thankful worship unto Him. It is an investment in His kingdom program. And it will be unto fruit increasing, the Scripture tells us. Let's pray together, and we will worship with our offering today. O Lord, gracious Lord, majestic Lord, glorious Lord, we have been singing our praise to you this day, Lord. We have been lifting our voice in song, and we have been proclaiming who you are, your goodness and your grace. We've been singing about the cross. we have been singing of your coming again. And Lord, through it all, you have the very heart of our worship. And now, Lord, that which we do at this time is an act of worship unto you. So, Lord, receive the gifts of the saints this day. Father, I pray that you would bless them richly. And I pray, Lord, that the investment of this act of worship would be fruit-bearing to the glory of your name. We worship now in this way and in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was singing that song as you were playing this week. I love that song, Blessed Assurance. Interesting enough, I always ask the Lord what he wants me to sing when I'm asked to sing. And it was interesting this week. How many here have ever had a down day? How many, somebody just said. Come on. There isn't anybody here who hasn't. My wife wasn't having a down day. My wife was having a down day the other day. And I says, honey, we just can't worry about tomorrow. We got to take it one day at a time. Come on. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Come on. But I know who holds tomorrow. So I went to bed that night, woke up in the middle of the night, and sure enough, the Lord gave me this song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, and I Know Who Holds My Hand. I want to sing it for you this morning. It was written by Ira Stanfill. That's a familiar name in music, especially gospel music, hymn writing. And probably wrote more than 300 songs. And I went through my songbook at home, and you wouldn't believe how many had Ira Stanfill's name on it. So I did a little research on this song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, and it just so happens that he had a downtime in his life. And I think anybody watching, anybody here, we've all gone through times of difficulties in our lives. He said on his way home, his wife had left him, and she had finally died, and he was just having a down day. And he said he began to hum this in his car, went home and wrote this song, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow, interesting enough. So we'll sing it for you this morning, and I trust if you're watching, and you've had any down times, or maybe even you're going through a difficult time at this time, this song will be an encouragement to you this morning. Goes like this. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, or its sky may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him, for he knows what he's done. Oh, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know
Getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb, every burden getting lighter, every cloud is silver line, and there the sun is always shining, there's no tear in the eye, and at the end things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty. Well, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion, maybe through the flame of blood, but his presence goes before me. Things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand, and I know
Junior Church are dismissed at this time. Thank you for the reminder, gentlemen. Thank you for the reminder. At the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, we read these words. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And one of the things that he was teaching them that they were absolutely so amazed at and taken in by was, well, what we have just been singing about and thinking on today. The passage from Matthew chapter 6, this is one of those things. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, yet your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And he will give to us the grace for today, one day at a time, day by day, and his grace is sufficient today. This morning we have set aside a time for a missions update. It's always such a joy, it's a delight to have one of our own missions family with us. And today, as you've probably seen in your bulletin and the order of service, that we have our friend Jessica Mulder with us. Jessica ministers with ABWE. Jessica, I think we first met you, I don't remember the year, but you had come along with our friends Andy and Diane Large, and they introduced you to us at that time. And as we were visiting with Jessica last night, it's been about almost 5 years since she has been on the missions field. And I do remember you came for a second visit, somewhere in there. And then last year, after prayerful consideration and seeking the Lord's face and asking him where he would have for us to invest your missions dollars, he put Jessica on our hearts. And actually, we've known Jessica for a number of years and have prayed for her regularly. Last year, we included her, financially speaking, as we partner with her in the work the Lord has called her to do in Nicaragua. So she is on furlough for a little bit, visiting her supporters and supporting churches, and we're so delighted that she could come and spend a morning with us. So with that being said, Jessica, welcome back to True Memorial Dear. So glad you're going to be with us today, sharing of what the Lord is doing in your neck of the woods in Nicaragua and the ministry that is going on there. And I see you brought your guitar with you, so you're going to sing a little bit for us also. Welcome, friend. Welcome back to True Memorial. We're so glad you're with us today. And you'll also notice that, I'll let Jessica get settled in. You probably noticed as you were walking in today, there's a table set up in the foyer with information and material that Jessica has made available to you. So go ahead and pass by there. I think there's a sign-up sheet if they want to be on your email list. You can do that also. And please take the time to visit with her after the service, and especially if you've never met her before. Get to know your missionaries, and Jessica is one of them. So I've been looking forward to our time together this morning.
Morning.
It is so great to be here with you all today. A million thank yous for your prayers, and thank you for partnering with myself and what God is doing in Nicaragua. I would like to sing a song for you today. I promise I did not know any of the songs that were going to be on the order of service today, but God did. And just as our brother sang about He Holds Tomorrow, I'd like to sing a song called He Will Hold Me Fast.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through his delight. Christ will hold me fast, precious in his holy sight. He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by him at such a cost. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Amen.
Many thanks to the tech team for all the switches this morning. Alrighty. Well, I bring you greetings from Andy and Di. I was texting with them this morning, and they send their love to you all. It was very much a privilege for them being my mentors as I started out as a missionary back in 2016. I was born and raised in Windsor, Connecticut, so not too far from here. And as a child growing up, I heard about a God who loved me enough to send his son to die on the cross so I could be forgiven and I could have a relationship with God. And he allowed me to receive him as Savior when I was still very young. And then later in life, he called me to be a missionary, and he brought me to Nicaragua, where I serve with ABWE. We have a team of about 10 people now, and we pray that God will bring us more. But I'd like to share with you what God has been doing over the last 12 months and a little sneak peek of what he has coming up, and then also just share some things that God's been teaching me. And you can be thinking as I share if you have questions. We might have time at the end. If not, please stop by my table, and I'll be happy to answer questions. And as Pastor mentioned, you can sign up there to get my monthly prayer updates or grab a prayer card. But let's talk about what God's been doing. A verse God has recently brought to my attention is Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And that's my prayer, that I would be an imitator of him so people will desire the real thing, and that as I share, God will bring people to himself. So our team of missionaries works in Nicaragua, right between Honduras and Costa Rica. We touch two oceans. We touch both the Pacific and we touch the Caribbean, so through that, the Atlantic. It's full of mountains. It's full of lakes. I live on the Pacific side in the capital city of Managua. We are very close to the equator, but we also get to work both in urban settings but also in rural settings. So God has given us so many opportunities. But Nicaraguan people are very welcoming, very open. They are a very artistic people. So everywhere I go, I learn more about their abilities and skills and the beautiful things that they make, as well as their music. This is a recent festival that they had in their traditional costumes, and it's just a joy to get to know them and see the creativity that God has given them, and through that get an opportunity to share about the Creator who made and loves them. So on this side is the capital city where I live, and on this side are some of the rural areas that we get to work with. Primarily, ABWE in Nicaragua, our goal is to come alongside Nicaraguan pastors and help them as they are planting churches and encourage them and provide resources and in any way that we can serve them as they are serving their communities. So let me show you some of those pastors. Our team has a Bible Institute. It's a two-year program that men who either already are pastors and want more training or men who feel called into the pastorate can get that training. And Several times a year, we invite the wives to come, and so I have the privilege of sitting with them and being encouragement to them, hearing about the challenges that they go through as they're serving alongside their husbands, and we also get to provide resources for them. So it's really neat to see what God is doing through these couples and the churches that are being started. I get the privilege of working with three pastors specifically. This is Pablo Abel, and fun story, Andy Large was the one who led him to the Lord many years ago. And Pablo Abel got training. He worked at our camp for a while. And now he's pastoring the church that Andy started many years ago in the capital city. So it's kind of full circle. And he and his wife, Nikki, have a little girl, Abby, and they have another baby on the way. And it has been a joy for me to come alongside them in the church as they are seeking to reach middle and upper class Nicaraguans. Our prayer is that every level of society will get to hear the gospel. And so that's the niche that God has given Pablo Abel. So I've been helping lately with music at the church. We also have Wednesday night small groups, and I help with transportation for that. And just I'm available for whatever they might need. So it's been fun to work with them. The second pastor I work with, This is Alvaro and his wife Erica. They are Nicaraguan. They lived in the States for many years, and then God called them back to Nicaragua to plant churches. And God called them to a farming community called Mataldina. And over the last 2 years, I have had the privilege of coming alongside them. Originally, I was working with the teenagers, of which there are many in that community. And then as they grew and matured and God brought a young man to take over that ministry, I then started helping with the littles down here and had fun with them. And now some of the teenagers have gotten trained as Sunday school teachers, so they're now leading that. So then as Alvaro and Erica were chatting with me, they asked if I would start helping with a women's Bible study in their community. So for the last several months, that's what God has allowed me to be part of. And we have a number of ladies that are coming, and it has just been exciting. Many of them are brand new believers, or they've been a believer for a while, but they've not been discipled. So it's been really special for me, still learning Spanish, to alongside them study God's Word together as we've gone through the book of Mark and studied about the life of Jesus. Shortly after that, a third pastor, Pastor Carlos and his wife Reina, heard about the ladies' Bible study in Mataldina. And they are in a church closer to my house, and they have quite a large group of women in their church. And he asked if I would help his wife to get a ladies' Bible study started. So we have started a second ladies' Bible study. This is in Los Cedros, and we're always looking for new ways to help ourselves remember what we're learning. So sometimes we'll have people illustrate the story. Sometimes we have people act out the story, just whatever we can do to help ourselves remember what we're learning. But it has been a joy to watch that group grow. But in addition to the group settings, probably my most favorite thing that God is allowing me to be part of is the one-on-ones. I live in an apartment complex, and through that I've met people and been able to share the gospel with my neighbors, inviting them over for coffee or for meals. But also meeting some young women who are either new believers or are more established believers, but either discipling or mentoring them. So I'd like to introduce you to four of those young women. The young lady in the red shirt, please pray for her. I just got a text yesterday that her health is not good, but her name is Allison. And Allison I met last year at one of our youth camps, and she had just lost her grandmother, who had been her family. Her parents aren't in the picture anymore. So that was a very hard loss she was facing, and God allowed me to just come alongside her as she was grieving and just be showing the love of Christ to her. She is a believer, and we've recently started a one-on-one Bible study as she wants to know more. And she asks really good questions, so God uses her to keep me on my toes and keep me humble. The girl below her is named Connie, and for those of you who were here last time I shared, she's the bus girl, the girl that God allowed me to share the gospel with on the bus. And we've stayed in touch. Last few years she's been working in southern Nicaragua, so I don't see her in person. But thankfully, we've been able to call and message. This past year, her family went through a really hard time. So it was a chance for God to encourage her using me and praying with her many nights. I remember late calls, and we'd pray together, especially about her older brother, who had a lot of addictions and was in a very dark place in his life. And we would just pray together and pray for her brother, Eduardo. And then sometimes she'd even put him on the phone, and the three of us would talk together, and we'd try to encourage him and share about Jesus with him. And praise God, God is working in his life, and he is coming out of those addictions. He's coming out of that dark place. He's starting to go to church with her and her mom. And she just moved back to the Capitol, so I will hopefully be seeing Connie a lot more. And then my other two young women, Azucena and Elena, they've been believers for a long time, so our relationship is more mentoring as they're making big life decisions. Elena wants to go to Bible college, and so she's been looking because we don't have that in Nicaragua, but she has found one in Mexico, so we're praying if that's God's will that she'd be able to go and do 4 years there. The other young lady, Azucena, she just a year or two ago started a business of her own to support her mom and siblings and nieces and nephews. And God has really blessed that, and it's been an encouragement to me just to watch what God is doing in her life and be that encouragement. So those are some of those one-on-ones. And then the rest of my team each have their own ministries. Some work with that institute teaching, training the pastors. Some work with young people. Some work with women. Some work with children. Everybody has their own niche. But many of the things happen at our camp, Centro Avem. We have had family camps. We've had youth camps. Women's retreats. So it's a resource for the churches that we work with, that they can bring their groups there. So I also get to work with children on Fridays. One of my teammates has a ministry in a school, and we get to teach the kids there. And my other teammates are helping churches start youth groups. So we've been able not only to get resources to those churches, Bible study booklets and so on, we've also been able to host throughout the year some simple one- or two-day workshops on youth ministry and having them come and having them get to experience. So let me show you. There we go. Getting to experience doing youth group. And God has really been using that ministry to bless the churches. I'm just a tiny piece of that ministry, but it's been fun to watch that grow. And then lastly, I mentioned earlier about my neighbors. For those of you who've already been getting my newsletters, this is Elena, my Russian neighbor, that I've known now for 2 years. And just God is so faithful in giving me words to share with her and to keep showing the love of Christ to her and talk with her about the gospel. She seems very open to listening. I'm trusting that someday God is going to save her and just waiting for God to open her heart and mind to the truth. On this side is Elizabeth. She was my Spanish teacher the last 2 years. She and her kids have been through some hard things. And yet she does know the Lord, and she's hanging on to him. And now I've just been able to be, again, an encouragement to her to keep on hanging on through the tough things. So those are some of the people that God has brought across the path and what he's doing there. For this coming year, as I've been praying, Lord, you know, what do you want this coming year to look like? God keeps bringing up situations where either I'm asked to counsel someone or I find myself in a situation where someone needs counseling and realizing I'm not equipped for that. So I desperately need that equipping. And so God has opened up an opportunity for me from Nicaragua to do a master's degree in biblical counseling. It's all online, so I'll be able to continue to be where I'm at and continue ministry in Nicaragua. But at the same time, God can use this to prepare me further for additional ministry. And pray for me, though. It is a big time commitment. It's also going to be in Spanish because the Lord reminded me I'm going to have to use it in Spanish, so I need to learn it in Spanish. So that will definitely be a challenge, so you can pray for that. And then I do continue to continue with guitar and serving music in the churches, continuing with those women's Bible studies and those one-on-ones and whatever the Lord wants to have happen in the next 12 months. So just pray that I continue to have a humble and listening heart for what he has next. But I would like to share with you just briefly some of the life lessons God's been teaching me over the last 12 months. And it was fascinating. I got to sit in on one of the adult Bible classes today, and it like so touched on exactly what God's been teaching me. So kind of fun story. But many of you know the verse in John 3:30 where John the Baptist says of Christ, he must increase and I must decrease. I have a history of being a people pleaser. I have a history of wanting to be in control. And God's been working on both of those this year. And just the reminder that he is trustworthy, that He holds all things in his hands, and so I don't have to run around thinking something's going to fall through the cracks, because he has it all. The other thing he's been reminding me of is in him, I am loved, I'm accepted, I am worthy, regardless of what I do or don't do, of what I accomplish or what I don't accomplish. So I don't need to be busy in order to be loved and accepted by him. I don't have to be needed by other people in order to be loved and accepted and considered worthy in his eyes. And it was very, very, very both shattering and exciting as God began to pull that lie off my eyes that I thought, I have to be busy in order to be valuable. I have to be needed in order to have a sense of worth. And God was like, no. At the cross, that was already taken care of. So now, learning that ministry is not out of needing to please people. Ministry is out of what Christ already did for me. And God's searching my motives and cleaning my heart. And I'm excited for this coming months of how many more things God is going to be teaching me. But that's just a snapshot of some of the things he's been teaching. But I do want to thank you all so very much for your prayers. Every single day things happen and I'm like, someone is praying. You know, whether I get a flat tire but I'm really close to home when the flat tire happens, someone was praying. Or God protect me from getting sick and giving me energy for the ministry. You are praying and God is answering. So thank you. Whoops, went too fast. Thank you for those prayers. And every year your support goes up and down for missionaries. You know, sometimes churches have to bow out because they have circumstances that are out of their control, or individual supporters have to bow out, and yet every time God brings another person and another church, and I know he will continue to keep bringing and keeping that provision going. Prices have gone up in Nicaragua, which means ministry has gone up, but God is faithful, so thank you for your prayers. I would like to share greetings from those three pastors that I mentioned earlier. They send their greetings to the churches of United States. I asked them, how can the churches in Nicaragua pray for your churches specifically? So Pablo Avel, the church in the capital city, working with middle and upper class Nicaraguans. Let's get to that picture. And keep going. There we go. All right, so this picture is of Pablo Avel's church. They recently lost some of their key leaders for a good reason, but a loss nevertheless. Those three headed out to plant another church. So pray that God would raise up new leadership so that ministry can continue to happen in that community. Pray too, their building that they are meeting in is quite old, and the roof desperately needs to be replaced. So that's a pricey ticket item, so pray that God would provide for that. Alvaro's church, the farming church way out in Mataldina, they are looking to buy a piece of property so that they can have a true church building. Right now they're meeting on his home property. And God has been providing. They're very close. I think they're about just short of $10,000 left that they need to raise to buy that land. So you can pray for that provision. But pray for them too, as God has really given them a burden to expand their ministry to teenagers in their community. And they just got an opportunity to get into a public high school down there. So pray that God would use that open door to reach many, many more, especially to meet the young, to reach the young women of that community who are often very overlooked. And then lastly, Pastor Carlos's church in Los Cedros, their youth group is exploding. It's exciting. So pray for them as they navigate a much bigger group of teenagers in their community. And it's exciting to share that God has already provided the resources and the Bibles that they need just in the last few weeks that happened. So exciting for how God is answering. Let's see here. Yes. So if any of you ever wonder, how could I personally get involved in things in Nicaragua? Well, there are many ways. You're already doing it through your prayers, through your financial partnership, but if you are looking for additional opportunities, we are always open, wide open arms for people who want to come down. We invite churches, if you want to put a group together and bring some people down, come for a week. And whatever talents and abilities you have, we can certainly use them. We have had teams of all different styles come down. We've had teams that have come and done VBS. We've had teams come down and teach a seminar on a specific spiritual topic. We've had groups come and do construction. We've had groups come and just visit in the community, invite people to that local church. So there's so many ways. We also invite interns to come down. So if you have a single person, whether you're just finishing high school or you're in college or you're just out of college, and you have a few months or a month available and you want to come down and see what missions is like close up and personal, we would love to have you. So come talk to me afterwards. I'd just like to end with one quick more story. This is my guitar teacher, Marvin. I started taking lessons from him about a year ago. And through that, I've been opportunities to share about the gospel, especially since he lets me pick the songs. I've been picking lots of church songs and using that as a springboard to talk about Jesus with him. And he's a very quiet person, kind of reserved. So he just smiles and nods. So I don't know how much is getting through. But I recently found out his sister is a believer, and I connected with her on Facebook. She doesn't live in Nicaragua, but she still very much cares about her brother. And so we were chatting, and she found out I was a missionary. And she said to me, "Wow, I have been praying for my brother for years and years, but he won't listen to me because I'm his little sister. So maybe God brought you there so you could talk to my brother." And folks, I have relatives that I've been praying for years. Maybe you do too. So we can all be encouraged that God can do whatever he needs to do to bring the gospel to your loved ones. And maybe they won't take it from you. I've been in those shoes. But maybe God will bring someone. Maybe he'll bring someone from really far away to talk with them because he is faithful. So thank you very, very much for letting me share. Do we have a couple minutes for questions, Pastor? Okay. All right.
Let's see what time we got here. Oh, we got plenty of time. All right, folks, why don't we do? We're going to go very informal here now. And anybody have any questions for Jessica that you'd like to ask about the work on the field and things that we can be praying about, anything like that? Did you have your hand up?
And just before we get into questions, I do need to add one caveat. Please ask whatever questions you want. I will say there are some questions I cannot answer because we're on live stream. So feel free to, I'll just kind of nod and we can chat afterwards in the lobby. But yes, please ask your questions about missions, about the ministry in Nicaragua.
All right, go first.
Ah, how many of them speak English? In the capital city, especially amongst like college age, high school age, you'll find people who know some English. The further out you go, more rural areas, it's less likely to find that. So, but whenever I do find someone, they always want to practice. So I make them a deal. I'll be like, if you help me practice my Spanish, I'll help you practice your English. And what's the second question? Religious beliefs or cult activities in Nicaragua. It is a predominantly Roman Catholic nation. But yes, especially amongst the young people, I see a lot of people who are curious and are looking for other things, which gives us an opportunity to share the gospel. But yes, there are definitely other groups, many works-based philosophies, many... you can become a god type of philosophies are out there. And so, yes, the young people are exploring that. So pray that God would open their eyes to him. Other questions? Yes. I am so excited you asked that question.
Let me share my story of how God brought it about in my life. I had been serving in my church down in Connecticut. I was also just working a regular day job. And God just started to put a sense of there was something different coming next. And I began to pray, Lord, what is that? And at the end of that year, I had an opportunity to visit with some of those missionaries in Nicaragua. And through that, God brought me the point of saying, okay, Lord, whatever you want next, I'm surrendering. Whatever you want to do with my life, Lord, I'm willing. And that's all God's asking for is a willing heart for whatever he wants to do with your life. And so then I began to talk to my pastor. I talked to other missionaries and asked them lots of questions. I got to Skype or FaceTime with missionaries throughout Latin America because I kind of already knew that was the region I wanted to be in. And just asked them, tell me about your ministry. Tell me about what's happening down there and looking for where I might fit in. And that took about another year of all those conversations. But through that, I heard about a lot of good opportunities to the point that I was like, Lord, I don't know. They all sound good. And so I began to pray, Lord, would you close the door for anywhere you don't want me? And sure enough, for various reasons, all the other opportunities just weren't going to work out. And so I was left again with Nicaragua. So the missionaries I had been talking with were from the organization ABWE. So I called ABWE, and they invited me to come visit because they're right in Pennsylvania. So I went down and met with them, and we talked more about missions, and I began the process. You have to, you know, fill out an application, and you need some references from your pastor, and you write out your testimony. And then, yeah, they were like, we would love for you to be a missionary with our organization. So then my college degree was just in general business, which was fine. But they're like, you should get some more training. So I had another year of getting some more training in the Bible and in missions, and then began the process of raising funds to go to Nicaragua. And so I went in 2016 with Andy and Diane, and I had come down that time knowing it was just going to be a short phase, like a year and a half. So I was there, I think, about 16 months. But at the end of that, God made it clear, this is a long-term thing. So I came back to the States, got some more training, and also began the fundraising process, and God allowed me to return in 2021. So yeah, that's at least how it worked for me. But come see me afterwards. Let's talk more. Anybody else have a question? Yes. Yeah, so when I arrived in 2016, I was there just under a year and a half, and then I was in the States for 3 years. I thought I was only coming back for 1 year, but God had some other plans. But then I arrived again in Nicaragua in February of 2021, so I am just starting my third year, second time around. Yeah. Other questions? I see a hand. Yes. Excellent question. So yes, the 3 years I was in the States in between the two times was visiting churches and talking with individuals. And God has raised up monthly partners. He's raised up some people that give annually. And so that covers my rent and my gas and food and stuff like that. Yeah. And Bibles and Sunday school curriculum and other things. Other questions? Oh yes, do I like the food in Nicaragua? Yes, I do. And thankfully for me, it's not spicy food because I'm not so good with spicy food. But it's a lot of rice and beans, eggs, chicken, a lot of soups. I'm learning all about different like vegetable soups, meat soups. Yes, they have seafood. They also have lots and lots of fruit. So I have tried many different new kinds of fruit like guava and papaya and pineapple and things like that. Yeah. Any other questions? Another hand. Yes. You know, God has kept me very safe down in Nicaragua, and I have a wonderful team of missionaries I get to work with and some really good neighbors, so I'm thankful for that. Climate-wise, it's very hot in Nicaragua because we're very close to the equator. So most of the year, it's in the 90s. Around Christmas time, it gets a little less, like around 80 degrees, but it's hot. So I have to wear lots of sunblock. We have to watch out for mosquitoes. So I spray a lot to fight off those mosquitoes. Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, thank you very much for having me. This has been a treat to be here with you all today.
Jessica, stay right here with me, if you will, because I'd like to pray for you. You mentioned a number of things this morning. Before we do that, I want to share a story with you.
Oh, please.
Okay. I think most of the folks here know this. Our missions committee certainly does also, but you had mentioned earlier with regards to support levels for ministries and missionaries. And I don't know if you were aware of this, but last year we had received an email or some type of notification from you informing us of you had a decrease in support levels. I don't know if you had lost some supporters or churches. Last year, some of you might remember that we had three of our very long time missionary families going to retirement. The Wards, the Tromlers, and the Bothwells, they had been with us a long time. And they told us that they would be retiring and that they would no longer need monthly support. So the missions committee went into prayer. We had Jessica's request before us. And the missions committee said, well, let's just take up that loss of support. So God is sovereign. And where God calls, God provides. And so last year, it was that our annual meeting this year, the church family voted upon the recommendation of the missions committee, yep, let's partner with Jessica. Wow. And to take on, I believe it was the entire amount that she had lost. And we were able to reallocate those funds and to bring her on. So God does it work. And faithful families that we had supported for a long time said to us, you know, we don't need those funds anymore. But you folks continue to give. And this is one of your new missionaries. So we're so glad she's with us today. Another thing I just wanted to share, I saw the kids asking questions today. How significant is that? Okay. Another real quick little story. We have a missionary we support in Guatemala, Missionary Air Group.
It's close to me.
Yes. Amongst the mosquito people. They run an air ambulance service. Actually, a number of our folks here have been on the field there ministering with them in Guatemala. And so it was good that you gave us that reminder of maybe missions trips in the future. But one of the things I remember years ago, Sean Donnelly with Missionary Group was with us. And years ago, there was a young lady who was sitting right around where Brian sits. She was just like high school at that time. And she was so impressed with the work that they were doing on the missions field in the area of medical missions that it was at that time, Kristen Lahman, I don't know if any of you remember Kristen, she had committed herself to service to the Lord and in the medical field. This young lady went to Cedarville College, pre-med, went off to medical school, became a doctor, currently is doing training as an emergency room doctor in Binghamton, New York, with the vision of going onto the mission field full-time as a medical doctor.
Wow.
Because of what she heard here when a missionary came. And so I just never know who the Lord is speaking to on any day. And what you shared today and who that might have ministered to. And I'm thinking to myself, might it be one of these kids? I don't know. I'm going to leave that in the Lord's hands. But God is sovereign and he is good. And his word continues to go forth. So just I want to thank you because this is one of our missionaries who is so very faithful in writing and letting her supporters or supporting churches know what's going on in the missions field. Every month I get my letter from Jessica, and I always read through that. Great pictures, by the way. Thank you.
I'm glad you enjoyed the pictures.
And she will keep you informed of what the Lord is doing. She'll show you pictures of what the Lord is doing, and she'll let you know things you could be in prayer for. So before you leave today, go ahead and get on her mailing list, okay, her email mailing list. And you can be in prayer for Jessica also. Can I pray for you, sister? Let me do that right now. Gracious Lord, thank you for the morning in your house that you have given to us to worship you, to raise our song and praise to your glorious name. Thank you for so great a salvation that is ours through Christ Jesus the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have raised up Jessica, that you have put within her heart a burden to be found in service to your name. And Lord, that over a period of years, you have put that there, you have nurtured that passion. And Lord, through years, you have helped her to raise the necessary support levels. And Lord, you have put her right where you would have for her to be and desire for her to be today. Father, I want to pray for her ministry, her outreach, her service to you as she reaches out and touches women and young children and teens and is desirous of continuing education through a counseling ministry. Lord, through all of this, may your hand be richly upon her each and every day. Lord, as she has been blessed of you, cause her life to be a blessing to others also. Father, I pray that you would watch over her and keep her and bless her. Lord, I pray that many would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, through her ministry, as she comes alongside pastors and churches to encourage them and to lend support through her gifts and her ministry. Lord, I pray that those that she would minister to and work with one-on-one discipleship, those that you would bring into her life, that her life intersects with, oh Lord, that they would see Christ in her, and Lord, that you would give to her words to speak and a Savior to share. Lord, we thank you that we can partner with Jessica, and oh Lord, I just pray your blessings upon her. Wherever she may be, whether she's visiting her supporting churches, she's traveling, or in her home amongst her neighbors, Lord, would you continue to use her mightily and powerfully for the purpose of the kingdom and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I commit her to you today, Lord. I pray your blessings upon her, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, friend. Thank you, Fred. Thank you. Hey, folks, find your hymnal with me one more time this morning. And let us sing together. Make your way over to number 296, and we're going to sing the first and the last verses that we find there, 296. You and I have a story to tell. We have a story to tell to those who are near us and those who are far off, and the message is about our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to do number one, number four. We have a story to tell to the nations. And we have a Savior to show to the nations. And it's all about our Jesus. Let's sing together. Let's stand together. Let's worship. 296, verses 1 and 4. gracious Lord, be with us as we depart from your house today, that we would leave here with joy in our hearts, with the message of the gospel fresh within us, with a thankful heart that you have visited us, O Lord, and you have opened our eyes to the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would use this church family, this congregation, Lord, this week in powerful ways, in ways that we cannot even think or imagine. Oh, Lord, would you do a God thing among us, I pray. Lord, dismiss your congregation today with your good blessings. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, dear friends. If you want to visit with Jessica at the table, feel free to do so. You're dismissed.